I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, with a preview of the next episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. The topic? Restaurants and rules. Some rules are based on religion.
This makes for an unusual scene in a Manhattan restaurant. A shy 20-year-old dictating the kitchen standards to a humble veteran chef.
While other rules promote health and safety.
But who are these feared rule keepers with the power to shut a restaurant down?
They're not really like food lovers.
Some restaurant rules fall outside the domain of the kitchen.
All civil rights issues have basically, at one point or another, revolved around the bathroom.
For more, tune in to this week's Meat and Three on Heritage Radio Network, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
All right, this is Rockin' 88, the first rock and roll song ever recorded. This is the Main Course OG, the first radio show on the Heritage Radio Network, which is a true network about food. We're not about fashion, obviously, by looking around the people around me. We're definitely not about...
I'm offended by that.
There is
some good outfits on today.
I closely resemble that remark.
What? I see pizza on pizza for Brandon over here.
Mike taught me a great line the other night. Do you know who I think I am? When he walks into a place and followed up by, do you know who I was? Anyway, I'm your host.
He was wearing blue tinted glasses when he said that,
at the radio show. So anyway, I'm your host, Patrick Martins. I'm in studio with Emily.
Studio one.
Chef Joe.
Hello, what's up?
Brandon, landlord Brandon and board member, and Mike Edison.
Hello.
So this is going to be a very exciting show. We had a great show with Frank last week. We're following up with another...
Gaetano,
Jesus, I say Frank because he was the chef of Babbo for so long with Gaetano. And now we're following up with another chef episode. So it's very exciting. We got Meghan Markle. Okay, take it over, Ems.
You guys didn't know Meghan Markle's coming. Happy Hanukkah. Who's been having latkes? Mike, you're having a party?
Latkes are this weekend, the cat mitzvah.
Mitzvah. Mike does it, A, because it's part of the religion, and B, because it has low food cost. It's mostly
potato, onion, flour.
I do carrot latkes.
And a brisket from Heritage.
Nice. Yeah. It improves your eyesight.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Good.
How did those come out? Did you serve them at the restaurant or at home?
It's like a canapé. Like, I do, like, little carrot latke... Little pasta hors d'oeuvre with like a yogurt sauce. It's pretty good.
Very nice. Like Greek? Like a labna?
Like a harissa. Like a harissa yogurt thing.
That sounds good. I went to a party the other night. You got to build. There were a lot of stations. It was smoked salmon, caviar. It was Neil Kleinberg and Dee Dee Lahman, our good friends from Clinton Street Baking Company.
I'm sorry I missed that party.
The food was good.
I worked so hard.
Well, I love.
Where was I? Don't you know who the fuck I think I am?
All right,
speaking of parties and events, we just...
Is this part of our weekly base?
Yeah, oh, sorry. I was going to jump right into the weekly base. I got excited. Thanks, Noam.
We need to cue Noam.
All right, apologies. Kicking off the weekly base. So we attended an awesome fundraiser this week celebrating the 9th anniversary of Heritage Radio Network. It was a walk-around format featuring awesome chefs, mixologists. There were also past hors d'oeuvres.
And engineers were there. Noam.
Yes, engineers, hosts. Brandon, we did not see you.
Not enough board members.
Well done. What's that app called?
I don't know. This is the first one I found.
Good, on the fly.
That was actually his voice.
Exactly. Anyway, what style event do you guys like? What makes a great event or what ruins an event? Are there absolute must-haves? Are you, I don't know, pig in a blanket devotees? Is it only finger food, carving stations?
Mike is grabbing the mic. Take it. You start, Mike.
There was no beer I could drink. There was all this IPA and fancy beer and craft beer and no light lager that I want to drink while I'm hanging out and having, you know, the one beer you want to drink when you're having more than one. That's it. Everything that there tasted like fruit punch or gravy.
Yeah.
You did not order the right cocktail.
You agree, Joe?
I'm talking about the beer
because I'm eating food and, you know, and I'm having the ceviche I'm from Harry at Brooklyn Kitchen. That was like the highlight for me. The ceviche was amazing. But do you really want to drink that with an IPA? I think not.
I mean, I think a true artisan needs to be judged on a simple lager. Brewmasters, no chocolate stouts, this. Please.
And to be fair, I love beer and all types of beer.
Yes.
But also, at an event when I'm hanging out, I want a nice, light, crispy beer that I could have like 15
that
or
like
20.
Soaks down all the food you're stuffing down
yeah,
your face.
Yeah, I mean, I'm back on Budweiser again. I hate to say it, but I'm just back. I'm back to that point where I just really appreciate a nice cold Budweiser.
Well, you're the king, baby.
I'm back too. The Budweiser is back.
There was a sake station, by the way.
Well, we're not
very
just
light.
Talking about
I know
this
we're not.
Event.
Yeah, exactly.
I did like the sake. You know, to grab the sake, which is on one side of the room, and then go over to the oyster station.
Okay, so but what about
sake?
Other
is
events?
My favorite kind of drunk. So listen, first of all, I think I love when they Slow Food invented this. I think it's a glass holder that goes around your neck, so you can stick your glass in, so you have both free hands to eat. You look a little weird, but
I think that was Homer Simpson.
I love substantial food. You can have your fancy foods, but you need a grilled cheese, you need a slider, you need a pizza, you need something where you just go and they're not starving to death. Lines, I hate. Every person who runs a food event needs to be responsible for shortening lines. Quick alcohol. When I get there, within 5 minutes of any event, I want a drink.
Well, the event on Monday did that right. When you have wine or a glass of Prosecco or something ready for when you walk in the door to keep you company while you're waiting for your next drink. Yeah.
Well, if I was like one of those guys that goes and fix restaurants, I would be like, how are you going to get every client that walks in here a drink within 5 minutes? And they're like, that's impossible. I'm like, you didn't hear what I asked. How are you going to accomplish that? Because it's so important.
And
to
there's
get
Patrick
people.
Getting pulled over again for the fourth time.
And
this year.
Exactly, because I'm so drunk. And Anne says she doesn't like food sitting around. She likes to see people make food, which
so
actually
creates
lines.
How do you do the
lines.
Battle of lines? Yeah.
Well, that's why we're different.
How long have you been working on this list, Patrick? Since last year's gala?
By the way,
the great gala of 1899?
If it's a sit down, I like assigned seating because I like somebody else to plan who I should be talking to and who I shouldn't be to. And then I love one long table. That's it. That's my list.
I like events that take place in my house with nobody else around. Cool. These are the classic events like Sunday night TV or like Netflix marathon by myself. These are the events that really get me going.
You're a real social guy.
As close to the couch as possible.
Joe, what about you? Come on, you're doing an event. It's a VIP event. Let's say you're at the Metropolitan Museum. What do you do?
As a chef, when I do a party, I always, especially if it's like a canapé, passed hors d'oeuvre, something like that, I always go hard, straight off the beginning. Like you said, like people come in, they're hungry. So give them, go hard with the hors d'oeuvres, go hard with the food. They're paying a lot of money anyway, so it's like give them what they want. Stuff them. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, I mean, fried, heavy, salads and stuff. That's not for a $200 event. I mean, you can have a salad station, but I want, like, a
salad
power.
Station.
Well, we do lots of, I do lots of healthy things, too, but, people always lean towards the things like the grilled cheese or the fried risotto balls.
And people want protein.
Yeah.
What's a faux pas, worst event? Food or worst event, like walk around event, kind of grazing event, mistake
just like,
that you've seen.
The large, 50 person a la carte, like I'll take a steak medium rare and the other one wants it in between rare and medium rare, and you got like 60 people with a million different temperatures, like that. I can't handle that. It's
too much.
Yeah, it's difficult to
you just expedite. Give everyone it well done.
Yeah,
no.
That's what I say.
No.
But that's one way. Like, is that a
terrible
mistake?
I walk out of the event. I'll never host an event there ever again. It's ruined for me.
No, we accommodate everyone. It's just those kind of events are probably the more challenging ones.
Yeah, I don't think anyone on the back end of doing an event wants to do an event where you have like a fish, a chicken, and a steak cooked to order. Like you're just like I don't want to do this.
My favorite events.
I love rotisserie. Oh, by the way, sorry. Go.
No, I was just saying my favorite events are the ones that are almost purely pastoral. D'oeuvres, but you have to have a lot of different variety.
Yeah.
I don't want to see the same tray coming around every time I look at that doorway where
especially
I'm watching like
fish.
A hawk waiting for it to come out.
You're right at the door, aren't you?
Always.
And you don't like fish if it's old. We learned that about your like, cruise. How much of
this is is there somebody here who does like old fish?
How many tuna tartare crustinis can you eat? Yeah. Like, you know.
By the way, one of the nicest events I'd ever been to was a barbecue event in Fort Tryon, North Carolina, and those guys know how to do the whole hog. So they just rip off a little piece of meat with their hand and they pile it onto your plate. You know, if you need a lamb chop, that's a challenge. But if you just need a pile of delicious heritage breed meat, it's great.
There is this really cool caterer here in New York. I think it's called Pinch, and they designed all their own like flatware and utensils and things so that it could be like the cup that you hang around your neck so that you always have your hands free, or at least like you're not struggling with a fork, a drink, and a plate. They designed the plate so it sits on top of the cup.
I want to invest.
I think you should.
They should design like something you can tie around your neck, and just the plate will just be right in front of your face.
Have you guys ever been around any professional politicians?
Like a harmonica holder.
Exactly, like a horse.
Like, have you ever been around any professional politician, someone who's running for office? Yeah. Like, because they can eat while shaking your hand and have hands free. It's unbelievable. It's a talent that you get from working those lines. No. I mean, if you're around like Hillary Clinton or anybody running for mayor, it's incredible. No, but they have to, because they're sort of like eating like the finger food.
Can
because
you
they
talk with have food to have in your cheek? Is that acceptable?
Substance, and yet they could shake hands. It's unbelievable. It's like a skill that is taught to working politicians.
But some, my mom now has gotten to the point where she just stores food in her cheek and carries on long conversations. I find that uncomfortable. I think you're still supposed to swallow.
You're probably asking the wrong two dudes over here if you could do this.
Because you do that alone on your couch. You eat and totally talk.
I'm talking to, like, we should find an event that just like takes place on an Oculus. You just put like a thing over your face, and you could just sit on the couch and eat whatever food you want, and just virtually, you know.
Next day, you're like, I was very charming at the event.
So cheese, by the way, is always on a board. How come it's never passed?
Yeah, what's up with that?
No, I don't know. I've never thought
cheese
about it.
Cheese suffers from so many things that keep it down. Like, why isn't it served as an appetizer? Why is it always competing with dessert?
Well, I pass a ricotta cheese crustini.
That's my
favorite. There's many.
Talk about
ways
something you shouldn't eat when it's old.
Yeah,
ricotta that can get you sick.
Only fresh.
Well, listen, there has been talk of Meghan Markle and Prince Harry moving to the U.S. So, chefs, friends.
What's the appropriate buzzer for that one?
What's the Windsor Castle? Do the Windsor Castle one.
Like the polite DJ, passing of gas.
DJ. No, that's all right. If you were tasked.
Oh, regicide. What,
that's
an
assassination.
That was the changing of the guards?
Was that regicide? If you were tasked with preparing a three-course menu. Yeah. Oh, you've got Noam going now. If you were tasked with preparing a three-course menu to persuade Prince Harry not to move to Windsor Castle, but instead to move to America, where Meghan Markle is from, tell us the three-course menu you would serve. Mike?
Let me just say, no Windsor Castle, White Castle.
That's how you took it from me.
And he said, never mind the three-course meal, just one bite of a double cheese slider, I call the meat petit four.
It would have to be the Impossible Burger.
She would go directly to the bathroom, and they would never want to move back here.
Good.
Well, I'm doing my Scotch egg. You know, I do the Scotch egg anyways. It's a British classic. You know that I do it better than they do.
That's big words. What do you do that's different? What makes yours any more important than what he gets?
It's just my secret blend of spices.
Is there actual scotch in it?
I can't tell you. Then I'd have to kill you.
Oh, I see. And you would also have to kill our one listener, which is be a challenge.
Yeah. Well, my wife's listening too, so now we got two.
We're going to talk about
it. I'm going to commission Roberta's to make the perfect pizza bagel bite.
Pizza bagel.
Sold. I'm so into this.
Bite one.
I did.
Bagel bite, whipped cream cheese, salmon, capers, onions, and
lemon. Oh, fine.
Lemon.
Then that's different.
I mean, that's okay, different so than a bagel robbed. Bite.
Oh, so I wanted a
pizza bagel.
Pizza bagel bite.
All right.
Which, but who doesn't love a pizza bagel?
I am not opposed
you can have
to the
pizza on a bagel anytime.
Oh, I wish we had that jingle to play in the background.
What, the Lender's Bagels?
Pizza in the morning.
Isn't that a racist name? Lenders?
Yeah,
the
I know.
The Jews do other things. They don't just, they're not just lenders.
I don't have anything
that's
to
racist.
Say
I don't know why you're staring at me like you want a comment out of me.
I'm Jewish.
You're obviously trying to lure me into a trap.
You're hardly Jewish.
I'm Jewish. My mom is Jewish.
When it's convenient, you're Jewish.
If it helps.
Patrick, did you get a phone call this morning from our pork processor?
Yes,
Keith,
he said happy.
To wish us a happy Hanukkah?
No,
because
he
I did.
Me a happy Chanukkah.
Well,
pork peddler Jew.
He goes, I'm not calling about anything work-related.
That doesn't make you un-Jewish.
I just realized it's Hanukkah. I saw on the news last night. I wanted to wish you a happy holiday.
So what's your three-course meal, chef?
I got scotch egg.
Yeah? And that's the you ended there?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've spotted dick. It's an English classic.
Oh.
Yes, but would that persuade them that the U.S. can also do British food?
You know, like, you don't have to be in England. You can be here, and we can make your food whatever you like. It's heritage pork chop.
Good answer.
Heritage pork chop. Well, that's the thing. I think she might be a vegetarian. The Impossible Burger at White Castle. We're not just fast food. We are progressive. White Castle's a healthy place. Apple pie.
Is that a vegetarian burger?
Yes, it is. Impossible Burger is at White Castle now. You obviously didn't listen four shows ago when we covered that.
Is White Castle still in Bushwick?
No.
No, it isn't.
They closed it.
Yeah, they closed it. Actually, East Williamsburg as well.
But there's the one the one on Metropolitan is gone?
There's one on Atlantic.
No, that one's gone, right?
Gone. Yeah.
Deep on Atlantic, there's one. Anyway, very sad.
No, that's always the stop on the way back from JFK down Atlantic, is hitting that White Castle.
I'm sure your Uber guy is always happy to pick you up and be like, I have to wait for 15 minutes.
All right, we're moving on. Yes. Yelp. Is it dead? Do you even know what it is? It's a local business review site.
What is it?
It's a local business and restaurant peer review site.
It's on the World Wide Web.
Brandon's like, there's a line to the bathroom. We got a negative Yelp review. We're ruined.
I want more reviews. I mean, we've talked about this before, where I just want everything to be reviewable, like the NFL. It's just like everything should go. Everything should go to replay. Literally, life should just go to replay, and everyone should review it. We should review it. We should talk about it. People should review this, how horrible this radio show is.
Yes, yes.
We should review the people on airplanes, how horrible they are. We should review our train ride.
Our life decision. Our life.
Just the path we chose to walk to the train should be reviewed.
How much you're worth.
Everything.
Yeah, I think it's called Facebook.
I guess it could be, yeah. That could be the where you put personal reviews.
I don't know. Is Yelp dead because too many ringers just posting fake reviews? Is that what we're getting at?
I also think businesses just don't. I mean, when I've worked in restaurants, you don't want to be a part of it. You can't take them down. You people are just so, they have one, they're angry with the world. They have one bad moment and they just destroy you.
Can you imagine anything less important than a man on the street interview? I mean, I like humans, but like, I do not want to hear what the guy at the who runs a garbage truck thinks about the weather. It's just like, I want
experts.
That's
not quite what Yelp is.
No, it's regular people commenting on Babo's cuisine. I think it's absolutely, I want critics. I want experts. I could care less, man on the street. And it's cheating and they're angry people who are trying to hurt you. I mean, but you care. Chefs always care. They're like, I got a negative Yelp review about the price of my pork chop. I'm like, so what?
I try not to look at that stuff, but you know, I want to start my own app and call it like instead of Yelp, it'll be like Yop.
Yeah,
and
then
we can critique the customers, you know.
I also thought of another one before, which is critique the critic, which is critiquing critics' criticism, which I think is also great.
That's
like
great,
really
yeah.
Dive in, get meta on this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Go all the way for these people.
You want to be critical of Pete Wells' son's Derek and his food opinions, which he writes about occasionally? I'm like, great, use your platform to tell us about Derek.
But, you know, do you ever look at this stuff? I mean, aren't you interested in, like, breaking down the barrier that, like, only the New York Times can review stuff? That, like, you know, this wall, this barrier to entry, you know?
You have to be an expert.
Look, the internet was supposed to be more democratic, right? That was the whole idea, to let people, you know, get past this barrier to entry, that you didn't have to be a so-called expert, you know, and part of the aristocracy or the elite to write a review. And a normal person could say, you know, what they thought about Babo. And I think that's fair enough. But of course, you know, the system itself is corrupt.
Part of the problem is when you don't have any reviews, that's actually a negative thing as well. Like my best friend is a dentist. I saw her yesterday morning. The front desk asked me three times when I left, will you do a Google review of Zocta? And for my best friend, I said, sure, of course. But it's more that if you don't have any reviews, that's looked at negatively too. So
yes.
If you balance out in the middle, maybe that's better than having
for,
none.
For a business owner, I think Yelp is helpful if you're cognizant of the trends, right? If there's things that keep reappearing on Yelp and you're not using that tool for your benefit, then you're kind of a moron.
Reappearing,
if everybody's saying your bathroom is disgusting and a horrible place to go, you should probably do something about your bathroom.
Which you did.
It took me really, to be honest with you, I did it out of, I was pissed that I had to do it because I was like,
that was old
history.
It was
actually kind of forcing you into the bathroom. I really just don't want you to go to the bathroom here. I'd rather you hold urinate it. Yourself
and do it on the thing. Well, yeah, no, Yelp reviews. I mean, I think we talked about this last week with Pete Wells. The best thing for all the papers to have is the way the LA Times have it. I would like every single week for there to be 5 reviews from the same 5 people. The way The Onion had those same 5 characters always report on everything, you have 5 reviews. And then eventually you are drawn to your favorite reviewer. So it wouldn't just be Frank Bruni for 5 years. I thought he was hilarious and I did like him. I don't like Pete Wells. I don't think what he's saying is that interesting. But 5 people, fantastic. You have something for everybody. There's some people that tend towards the cheaper ones. Some people tend towards the Asian, Vietnamese places. You know, fascinating.
You know, I was never one to, like, really listen to reviews. Like, you know, people say, oh, that movie sucks, don't see it. Like, I'm going to make my own opinion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're right. Like, yes, if a million people are saying that something sucks, then maybe it sucks. But I'd still like to form my own opinion.
Someone's going to write a Yelp review about you. The chef of the East Pole is never at his restaurant.
Yeah.
He's always in Brooklyn.
Yeah. I wish. Wish that were true.
Hey, from the right critic, a bad review will get me right into that theater. I mean, if that movie's panned by the right guy,
exactly.
I mean, I'm like, okay, this has got to be great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I usually like movies that people hate. Like, I like movies that
my suck. Favorite are the Amazon reviews when people give like 1 star to like Moby Dick, you know, these classic books, yeah. or 5 stars to Citizen Kane because it arrived on time.
Which which is the one that has the critic and the, is it Rotten Tomatoes, where it's the critic review and the public?
Yes.
I appreciate stuff like that.
So I'm assuming that you saw Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, no, not so yet. Good. No, I don't care.
Yeah. It was so good. I laughed. I cried. I would see it again.
No, but I think the Metacritic thing, Rotten Tomatoes, is useful. I mean, I use it just to sort of gauge, I don't know, some goddamn thing. I mean, if it's 98% approval rating, I'm never going to like it. I know that. You know? No, that's too much of a, yeah.
You don't want to be part of something really popular.
So you go to all the restaurants that don't even get a star.
There's a certain line there.
Lord of the Rings, fuck it. Too many people like it.
You know, I mean, if it's some action-adventure movie and like 13, you know, it's got a 13% rating, I know it's going to suck. If it's, you know, I don't know.
I was going to go see Rocky until they built a statue of him in Philadelphia. Now, no fucking way, man. I hate that film.
Creed 2
was wrong.
Good.
That's
I
wrong.
Liked it.
Why were you going to Creed 2 with all the movies, you and your family,
like Creed
the Jews from the Upper West Side?
I let my non-Jewish husband pick. I don't know. I want to see the Green Book.
He's a Cuban.
I want to see the second Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
So I'm okay. This is a great segue.
Who wants to go to the movies with me?
A great segue to the Ascending City, because we just mentioned Cuba. We just mentioned the Upper West Side. So Ascending cities.
Name an ascending city in the food space.
For food. Anywhere in the world. An ascending city and a descending city.
Joe.
Long Island City.
Is it ascending or descending?
Well, I think that there's a lot of room to grow there. You know, there's a couple, you know, Casa Enrique, there's a couple, you know, good spots popping up.
Well, there's going to be a lot more with the number of employees moving in Amazon.
I mean, that's where I live, you know. I mean, like, that's my dream, is to just, like, you know, have a place like down the street from my house.
I mean, you did say that the best event is the one where you don't have to leave your couch.
Exactly.
So
no,
that
I mean,
sounds like it's on.
No, you're going to be so happy about Amazon, I think, for food in that neighborhood. Now, Amazon's bad in a million ways, but for the neighborhood where it exists, that means that there's going to probably be 5,000 restaurants. It'll be good for Amwell's. Be good for all those pioneer restaurants.
I like it. Everyone's like, oh no, you know, it's changing. It's like, this is New York City. You're going to complain that it's too crowded? It's New York City.
Yeah, right.
You know, like,
it's changing.
I like to be alone in Times Square.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, you know, it used to be so much nicer when there was nothing.
New York's always been changing. Where's the Revolutionary War District?
Yeah.
Every time I look around, all I see is scaffolding. I mean, they haven't, you know, 300 years later, they haven't finished building it. The
scaffolding is a scam, by the way. When they put a thing up, that stays for 4 years.
Oh, yeah. No, it's one of my
upsetting.
It's one of my pet peeves. There's a point where I think I could have walked from my house to my office, you know, across town,
to walk and
not seen the sky the entire time.
Yeah,
no, that's old school.
I try not
shit.
To overthink the scaffolding either, because when you watch them put it up, it's really haphazard.
On the other hand, there's no getting away from it. I mean, they have to inspect buildings periodically every couple of
years.
Now
I know where you spend your free time. You're like, I'm going to sit here for a few days, watch these guys.
No, it's like urban Cujo. That's what I call it. It just like grows everywhere.
So come on, ascending cities. I think L.A. is an ascending city.
Houston, Texas,
descending.
Ascending.
What?
I go deep, like way far in the future. I'm looking at like 2000.
You're 10 years out.
2030.
Oh, why? That's only 10 years. That's
why are you saying that? Because their Harden's going to win an NBA championship there. Why?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things at play here. Sometimes you see after these like big natural disasters where these like cities come together. You saw it in Louisiana, right? After Katrina, it's like there's an amount of like camaraderie and kind of togetherness that like brings a community together. Also, Houston has such a diverse
population.
What do you mean, white? oil barons?
No, that's not true.
Really?
It's a very diverse city.
Is it?
And
It is near New Orleans.
I think it's
right?
One of the largest Vietnamese in America.
I didn't know that.
The largest Vietnamese community. So it has a lot, very Latin. There's a lot of things there. And I think when you get places like that that are kind of these like American boiling pot kind of cultures, you'll see that this will be an ascending. I think once the idea that food can be good and the people there with money are actually purchasing really good food, you'll see an uptick in what happens there. I believe that.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Good answer.
Descending.
How do you know?
I don't.
Okay.
How would I know anything?
No, I
know. It's like,
you never leave your couch.
Ask me who's going to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to just make something up and then try to
defend it later.
Try to convince you.
Maybe it's not descending. Maybe it's just like who peaked. Like, did Austin peak?
New York
and
has
Nashville
peak. New York has peaked.
I was going to say that.
Well, ascending.
It's still
New York
great.
Has peaked, right? I mean, how?
It's still great.
Well, which way direction can you go anymore? You know, I mean, there's.
Yeah. New York is peaked.
Up. It looks like we can only go.
I always
go.
Call it the culinary capital of the world. You know, any kind of food that you like, whether you're Chinese or Indian or wherever you're from, I feel like you can go to New York and get better than, like, from where you're from.
No, it's true. When you leave New York, everything starts to suck.
Yeah.
But you can't even get a bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll. You go to a country and you're like, bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you don't understand that?
No, you get a cheeseburger anywhere else. They can't even get the fucking pickle right. But once they closed the East Williamsburg White Castle, that was it. That was the fall of the empire right there.
That's it. Yeah, it's all over now.
But I will say this, and I always love to make this prediction. In the year 2099... I think all the chefs like you, Joe, now you are a chef. You are going to be a restaurant owner of a big empire, and there are people like you. Yeah, the Roberta's, Brandon's going to own like 30 restaurants. But think about all those sous chefs. They're really talented. They went to graduate school. They studied at the CIA. They apprenticed under all your great people, but they're in their 60s, 70s, and they don't want to be in a restaurant anymore. I think like a building like mine is going to have 5 full-time chefs who just cater to it. And they're these 60, 70-year-old guys who don't have the energy to be standing 15 hours a day, and I'll spend $8 a night to get a meal for one person. And if it's me and my wife, it'll be $16, and I can pick what I want. And I think the food thing is going to go up. And in that case, restaurant quality is going to go down because everyone will have a private chef. Because think about how many tens of thousands of chefs on
the board. I did discuss this one with Patrick sincerely about a year ago, and the industry has grown, and maybe you can speak to this, Joe.
Absolutely.
And Brandon, that there are
too
a
many
lot
chefs.
Of too many people sort of, you know, in that middle range.
No, I'm glad you brought this up because this is like one of my pet peeves, like this whole Top Chef generation, the Food Network, all these things. And during, you know, all of our lifetimes, we've kind of watched this thing grow. And so a lot of these people, they go to culinary school, they spend all this money, they see all these chefs on TV, and then they get out and they graduate and they go for the job, and then they realize they're going to be in a dark basement for 12 hours chopping onions, and they're like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah,
Yeah,
or I'll do it for 6 months, but I'm not going to do it for 5 years and become
also,
a chef.
Also, a restaurant is more than just a chef's culinary dream. Like, usually a great restaurant or a restaurant that people are attracted to have other things going on for it than just what's, like, coming out of
like
the kitchen.
Like a radio station?
Yeah, a radio station. Almost all the good restaurants have a radio station.
Or there's
but there's more to
bar,
it. There's more
the,
to it. There's
the
a
cocktails.
There's a feeling that you get. There's some sort of there's something else that drives you there besides the food. Usually the food is what led you there to begin with, and something outside of that that keeps you coming.
Well, you
back.
Were in the hot tub in the back tent, I think, before we started the radio station. That was a draw.
I don't remember that.
What hot yes, tub? There's a hot tub here.
There Why was, and Brandon was in
recording
it.
Recording from the hot tub.
All
Live
right.
recording.
It is
dirty
you know,
water
that-
dogs.
Oh, my Brandon missed that one. It is that time of year of gifting. Holidays are upon us. Has the edible gift world changed? It used to be boxes of Mrs. Fields cookies, those weird popcorn Indiana tins.
Oh,
I don't know. That's
God.
Like what people used to send
is
to
there
offices.
Any Mormon insult?
That's exactly what I got Mike, a bucket of, I got him a large bucket of popcorn.
Charles chips. I want Charles chips.
I've never heard of that.
You don't get to ask for your present. I already bought it.
Okay, so like, is that a cop out? Is that
Charles
offensive?
You know, it's offensive. How
is that offensive?
To give someone popcorn?
Well, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
none of us here work in an office formal culture, but many, you know, when you're gifting things to clients and to your lawyer,
God, listen,
they send big gift
snowflakes.
Baskets.
You really think it's offensive when someone gives you
a traditional office culture?
A tub of
Is that what
are we at a bank where our lawyer is sending
chips.
Us an annual
Just
gift basket
dog,
of poops?
You know what
warehouse.
I gave my lawyer? A bunch of money. I feel like
no,
that should
lawyer,
be good enough.
No, you especially.
No, your lawyer is supposed to send you a present this time of year.
Yeah, who's supposed to send? Why are we always like, shouldn't we send the farmers a present? They should be sending my ass a present, our ass a present. We fucking move 80,000 pounds of heritage meat a week. For them, we don't.
Well, Patrick,
I leave that to
one
you.
Hand washes the other; both hands wash the fists.
I think that the
and obviously nobody washes his nuts because this guy smells something dirty. Putrid today.
Yeah, but I'd be happy to get like if someone gave me like a giant bag of nuts. I'd be very happy. Why would I be offended?
No, but bake me something.
Popcorn.
You know? Make me some cookies. I
Thank
don't want
you.
Mrs. Fields.
Pot brownies.
You're right. Thank you, know? You, Joe, for finding
or
some
I don't,
reason.
Just, is it more that?
Well, Mrs. Okay. Fields reflects the on the person giving it because it's just showing how poor taste they have.
But if it is a basket, yeah, make it nice and big and
make it charcuterie. I want.
Well,
some
how about this? I get this sort of like very middle brow gift basket like every year from my accountant, right? You know, and it's sort of like it's. Okay charcuterie, it's an okay dry summer sausage or some okay cheese. It's not terrible, but it's not like
okay is fine.
But it's not heritage quality either.
What, it's very, is that low or
it's
high?
It's like good for a shopping mall like in suburban Massachusetts. You know?
Is that where your captain is based?
I always imagine your gift basket being like a couple pairs of socks and the like round battery for your watch and like maybe like a weird robot that doesn't do anything that like just like dispenses soap.
Yeah, that's called Hanukkah.
That's called Hanukkah.
See, if those gift baskets gifts. Were personalized,
well,
that would be cool.
It's sort of like, you know, just this corporate thing. You know, everybody's getting the same thing. It's not personalized. I tend to re-gift it, frankly, you know.
So then you're guilty of regifting the okay cheese and the okay salami.
Absolutely. Why not? Because it's okay. But you know what? The okayness, like when it's a pile of okayness, like one bit of okay is okay. I usually take the coffee out of it and then give someone the summer sausage. I like to give the summer sausage.
I've got like a whole box of
I hope
of
I'm
like
never
re-gifts.
In prison with you, dude.
I got like a whole closet full of like regifting.
The bread maker?
Yeah.
Do your customers
the
bring you gifts?
The Etch-a-Sketch?
Do your regular customers bring holiday
No,
gifts?
Nobody brings me anything.
Well, you're about to get a tote bag, goddammit. Let's go to break. We'll
All
be
right.
back with
stick
the
around.
Show.
We'll be back. Stick around for Joe.
You are going to get a tote bag
cool.
from Heritage.
Yeah.
We'll
give it to you.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
All right.
Five, seven. Yeah. It was like really
quiet
late.
Down, quiet yeah. down. And we're back. This is the...
This is real radio.
And we're
real
back. Radio.
And we're back. Thanks for joining us. This is the Main
Get
Course
your fucking
OG.
Fucking shit together. We're live.
We're broadcasting live.
I hope you're not talking to me.
Well, in case you missed it.
I'll jump out of this fucking seat and punch you right in the goddamn nose.
Don't you have any idea who the fuck I think I am?
Mike once saw, this is a funny story, and then we'll go to Joe. A Hasidic guy was playing Frisbee with his son, and the Frisbee, like, landed. Basically, Mike and I were sitting on a bench in the park. I don't know why we were sitting on a bench in the park, but we had just been playing Frisbee, and the Frisbee, like, slides, basically touching Mike's foot. Mike puts no effort to go and bend down to give it to the guy. So finally, the Hasidic guy has to walk all the way over, and he bends down, and just at that moment, Mike bends down and gives him the Frisbee, but like his head like hit his crotch for something, you know. It's like so awkward. He gives him, the guy walks away, doesn't say any thank you or anything, and Mike says, I saw a lot of myself in that guy and I hated both of us. Which I think is probably one of the funniest improv lines of all time. All right,
well, in case you missed it, this is the Main Course OG, airing live on Heritage Radio Network from Roberta's in right. Bushwick, Brooklyn.
In case you thought it was the Hillel Academy, you're wrong.
In case you thought you were tuning into a different show today. So welcome. We have Chef Joe Capozzi.
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
Good to be here.
Thanks for being with us for the first part of the show.
Thanks for having me.
And so your restaurants are all on the Upper East Side. What makes your restaurant unique on the Upper East Side? A traditionally slightly older, family-oriented, conservative neighborhood.
My mom's 74.
As Patrick wanted me to say, not necessarily known for its great food. Although.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the Upper East Side. We opened up the East Pole with the guys from the Fat Radish back in the day. Mm-hmm. And we sort of, you know, bring in that kind of seasonal, local, sustainable vibe up there, which is a little different from the French bistros and the old school Italian restaurants that are up there and stuff like that. Myself as a chef grew up cooking in, you know, the Waldorf and other restaurants all in the Upper East Side. So I already know that clientele, you know, those old ladies that want something inside out and upside down. It's all modified. And you know what? We do it. It's okay. You know, a lot of other chefs don't really get that. They're like, oh, I'm not going to split this dish. It's going to compromise the presentation of my plate. And it's like, you know what? The lady wants kale instead of broccoli, then give her the kale, you know?
I love it.
Me too.
You know, it is what it is, you know? I mean, it's a... We're doing something.
You're
a
dying breed, you know. The accommodating chef is a dying breed.
Well, we always joke about Marco Polo, Red Tablecloth Restaurant. You don't even need to look at the menu. You're just like, I want something with eggplant in it. They're like, you want us to deep fry it? You're like, nah. You're like, you want to put it in a pasta? You're like, yeah. Like, they do it.
Like Marco Polo, it's like, I despise people who go to a place like that or to diners and look at the menu. If you go to a diner and look at the menu, it's like, what's
wrong
with you?
You can get whatever you want.
If you don't know what you want before you walk in, then you're in the wrong place.
You're in the wrong place, yeah.
My personal...
How's the duck? Yeah, I don't think so.
My personal pet peeve is people finally get a visit from the bartender after 30 minutes of standing in line and need to see the menu. I'm like, order a Negroni or a martini or a dark and stormy.
What's your go-to diner dish?
I'm
a tuna melt guy.
Really? I'm chicken fingers.
I also
I'm a turkey club.
Yeah. I switched to chicken fingers
souvlaki.
Once I had kids because I started getting chicken fingers for my kids and then realizing that
how
I ate most
are.
Of them.
They're amazing.
And then I'm like, that's always a go-to though in any place where you might be questionable, like the food might be questionable.
Cheeseburger or chicken souvlaki? What's yours?
Chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers.
Is that kind of like chicken matzo fingers. Balls?
Yeah.
Oh, I love mozzarella sticks.
Yeah, if it's reliable, a matzo ball. But basically, I go to a diner. It's going to be eggs and bacon and potatoes. And
that's
it. Yeah.
Even
course,
at night.
Breakfast. Yeah, breakfast.
Yeah, I guess I'm usually eggs. But if it's truly lunch, probably a turkey club, turkey BLT.
Turkey club.
So now your wife is from Brazil.
Yes.
Which is fascinating to me. My father's from Brazil. What is Brazilian food? And can you describe it in a way that Americans can understand? And how does it influence your cooking at home and maybe
Absolutely.
Even at the restaurant?
No, it's influenced me a lot. You know, I didn't know anything about Brazil before I really met my wife, except for that they were good at soccer. And, you know,
and she wears a bikini all the time.
Exactly. That's what I imagined. Brazil has the largest variety of plant and wildlife. There's so many fruits and vegetables that you've never seen before. Really opened my eyes, and there's so many different amazing things. I don't even know, like, yeah.
Do you do really anything different? I mean, but their basic food is like steak and onions or goyabada.
It's more like beans and rice kind of thing. You know what I mean? Feijoada is amazing. You know, but like for me, it's, you know, the vegetables. Like, you know, there's the one that's my favorite. It's called manjuquina or batata baroa, which is like a potato. It's almost like a yuca and a carrot fucked and had a baby.
And that sounds good.
I kind of want to see that video. Do you think you think that's on YouPorn?
It's kind of like in that that movie Sausage Party at the ending scene. It kind of looks like that.
I see. Good.
So does your wife cook at home or do you?
Yeah, we both cook. She's really good. She does like a lot of desserts and things like that. But I like to...
Kinding. Have you ever heard of that? K-I-N-D-I-N. Ask her about that, please.
It's Kinjing?
Kinjing. It's my favorite dessert of all time.
Japanese or something.
It has 9,000 eggs in it, but man, is it good. It's the strongest, most contained, like, pudding.
Sounds
dish.
Like flan.
It's much stronger.
Oh, poujin?
That's,
I don't know.
I can't believe you said that on air.
I don't even know what
disgusting.
That is. But, I don't let her, I always end up taking over in the kitchen, you know, so at home, that's what I just always take over.
I can only imagine how that goes. Is it like a, get the fuck out of here! Here
exactly.
I come!
That's exactly how it is.
All right, so you just opened a fish restaurant.
Yeah, so this
Patrick's
is your second
favorite
restaurant.
Thing to talk about. No, it's your, fish. You have East Pole, East Fields. And then Americano became
East Pole Fish Bar.
Yeah, I so like now, fish. I just don't respect them.
Yeah, no. I mean, well, Fish Bar. I guess that was the direct. You know, it's kind of a new kind of idea for us. But we sell so much fish up there,
like crudo or
everything.
Or cooked
monkfish.
Yeah, so, oh, we do everything. You know, it's like oyster bar. You know, shrimp cocktail, things like that. But then we do whole fish, grilled, everything, you know, it's just...
How many people ask for Dover sole?
I don't know.
White fish my way? Grilled, fried?
Smoked bluefish dip, which is really nice. Ooh. We use that nice smoked bluefish from the Acme factory here in Brooklyn, which we use, and we whip it up nice with potatoes and other things and make a nice, like, little spread. It's
well,
really
that sounds vaguely affordable.
Yeah.
The bluefish dip versus the Dover sole or a lot of other things.
Well, we're talking about an Upper East Side clientele. I was curious how many people ask for Dover sole.
Well, you know, bluefish is one of those things that is like kind of like peasant fish, right? Because it's oily and a lot of people don't like it. I used to eat that all the time at Odessa.
So if someone asks you to...
You know, when I was broke, I'd go there, get the bluefish special, you know,
exactly.
with a baked
it
potato for some
I have another prediction. Mike will come into your restaurant, order the bluefish dip and the check.
Yeah. And a Budweiser, maybe.
That's about how much I could afford. But
Well, that's really cool, a fish restaurant. So are fish purveyors tough to work with because their stuff is always on the brink of spoiling?
I have so many fish purveyors now. Like, it's ridiculous. So
who do you use? Name some names.
Oh, Wild Edibles and Peerless Fish are the two top ones that I use. But, I mean, I also work with a bunch of, smaller guys, Early Morning, Bronx Seafood, a couple of different guys. But, when one guy doesn't have it, then I call the other guy, you know.
Bronx Seafood, that's like a terrible, that's like flushing meats. Patrick
and I end up buying this truck often, flushing meats. And we're just kind of want to follow them to see where they're heading. But
yeah. Do you think that's what they're doing? Do you think they're flushing meats?
Yeah,
they're down the toilet is where they're going.
It's very possible. So I'm curious, who's your food hero? I know you've worked with...
Besides Emily and I.
Yes.
As your pork purveyors.
You know, going back to the whole Brazil thing, you know, like I really...
Pele.
Alex Atala, you know, really, really great chef. He's one of the best.
In Rio de Janeiro?
He's in Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo.
But he's a really great chef. We recently were in Sao Paulo and we went to his restaurant Dome, which has 3 Michelin stars, I believe. And it's really good. And so he takes these classic Brazilian dishes and makes them, cooks them on like a higher level. Which is cool. The first dish that they had when we went there in the tasting was a caipirinha, the drink, but it wasn't in a glass. It was like a little sugar pod with cachaça injected inside it and then a lime on top. So you pop this sugar pod in your mouth, and when you're chewing it, you're essentially making a a caipirinha in your mouth.
That's a caipirinha in Coreto.
You know, I'd like to add, though, to the ascending food cities. I was in San Juan not too long ago, a city that, after a devastating hurricane, and, glad to see American tourists there. Old San Juan is a really beautiful, and you remind me of a great cocktail we had. They called the Global Warming, which had chili peppers infused in a ball, a hard ice ball, in basically kind of a margarita. There's some tequila involved. But as the ice melted, the drink got progressively hotter and hotter and hotter. Cool. And it was one of the best restaurants I've ever been. I mean, it was like Gramercy Tavern quality.
And in it Old had San a Juan. Message.
And the vibe was great, and it was spacey and tropical. The food was great. It was a, and that was
the message that as everything melts, it gets better.
No, that the world is changing. We have to do something about it.
I mean, it was like
spicy. You are so funny. I can't read this sarcasm, but I'm just hoping that it's in there somewhere.
So, Mike, can you give us a weather report? That reminds me, we haven't gotten a Mike Edison radio weather report on HRN in years.
The weather. Well, Patrick, it's going to be cold and dark tonight.
But it's going to
scattered light towards morning.
We are approaching the shortest day of the year.
Oh, really?
December 21st.
I learned that through Josie's song, Leaves Are Falling, Days Are Getting Shorter, Nights Are Getting Longer. All right.
He just learned that from his 4-year-old daughter.
Exactly. That's good.
All right.
My daughter, the astronomist. Oy.
Anything new? What can we come to the menu? Everyone should go to the East Pole, and the name of the fish restaurant is?
East Pole, the East Pole Fish Bar, Eastfields, in the Upper East Side.
Are you also part of Pizza Beach?
Pizza Beach, Pizza Beaches.
Uh-oh. Yep. Just got heated.
Just got crazy up in this bitch. I just took my shirt off for all of you radio people who can't see.
If you want to get in the kitchen right now, I mean, I'm always up for a little pizza cook-off.
I'm saying it now here.
I like this.
I'm saying
nice.
It here live on TV. I don't know if you guys know Spanky Van Dyke. But I whooped his ass in a pizza competition.
I do know Spanky.
Yes. He can, everyone will vouch for that.
Are you a great chef?
Like straight beat down.
So. Well, it was close. I'll give him that. He had this French onion soup pizza, which was pretty dope, but my shrimp, my curry shrimp pizza was the one that really took it over.
I got a hard, shrimp and champagne pizza.
Hey, we should go to East Pole.
Yeah.
With everybody.
Okay. You've heard it live here on Main Course OG.
But we're not telling you what year. No, we should go there this year for our holiday.
I thought you were going to give us like the Jewish calendar. Year 5,770. What are we up to?
That's next year.
Yeah.
I just like to add that I have had a pizza named after me. More like when I wrote my book, Dirty, 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 the guys Ditmo's in Chicago made a dirty pie.
Nice.
Okay. And that was like, a kitchen for like stoner, it was like a stoner playground back there. And the dirty pie to celebrate my book, Mike Edison's Dirty Pie. And it was gumbo pizza. It was andouille sausage and shrimp. And man, it kicked ass. It was good. We had a long talk about what would be a dirty pie and came up with andouille sausage. And they took it to the next logical level. So
I love shrimp where you guys on are going pizza. With this. Although fish should never be served with cheese. An exception
for gambonis.
Fish I don't think cheese. I put cheese on my shrimp. I think there might be like a tiny bit of mozzarella. Yeah, but.
You might want to speak to the guys in New Haven doing clam pizza. Then.
I loved it when the Salone del Gusto happened. Sedana's father was working the tickets at the pizza station. And Ari, the owner of Zingerman's, was like, Saro, your pizza stand is amazing. And Saro's like, I'm just the ticket guy. But Ari didn't understand it. He's like, could I fly you to Zingerman's to teach everybody how to do pizza? He's like, sure, of course. Like, the man never made a pizza before in his life, but it was very funny.
And they flew him to Ann Arbor to
make
pizza.
Cut that part out. They did. They flew him to Ann Arbor to make pizza. I'm like, but didn't he just work the ticket station?
I'd like to do a pizza bagel cook-off, but it has to be ingredients only available in a Key Food, and you must be very stoned while you make it, and it must be cooked in a toaster oven.
Challenge accepted.
I love this.
I'm in.
Lenders Bagel is an anti-Semitic name.
I'm always down for a cooking challenge. They tried to get
those interest rates.
I love strict guidelines too. It's like a toaster oven
only at the Key Food.
Totally, I'm into this. This is like it really, really levels the playing field here.
You can only use a frozen bagel and a Bunsen burner. Go.
Well, Joe, this is the best main course OG we've done this week. We do one show a week.
Let me just say, I'm also a little disappointed you didn't mention my tater tot rap video.
Quiet.
How do we not know this?
I forgot.
I don't know.
You're talking to a rapper here.
I think after our frozen bagel pizza throwdown, we probably are going to have to rap about it.
Oh, it's a rap battle.
Joe also has a dueling
rap battle cook-off.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little
sampling right before we go into Tech Bites?
I don't know. I don't know.
Please, what? We're going to give you 2 tote bags.
It's an instructional rap video. It's an instructional song, and it teaches you how to make tater tots. The lyrics to the rap are the directions to the recipe.
Can we get one line just to understand
classic.
The tune?
Yeah,
Mike can give you a little like beatbox.
And it goes a little something like this. So you want to make a tater, let's get into it. If you got a free minute, I'ma show you how to do it. First things first, just grab a tater. Then head to the cupboard and grab a grater. About 2 Idahos would serve a couple. If you got 4 heads, make that recipe a double. And it keeps going. Thank you.
Wow.
And on that note,
Brandon, you want to follow up with a little Roberta's classic?
I'm going to pass on that one.
Yeah,
sorry.
We're not that big.
So you don't want to hear what I rap about. It is not as pleasant as taters.
Well, the original Tater Tot song wasn't about...
There are tots, many tots, but no taters.
The original Tater Tot song wasn't about food either, so...
I believe it.
Well, this has been a very good show. What an interesting guy, Joe. We just transferred our Christmas party to your restaurant without even mentioning where we were going
to
go.
That's just so your mom can come because it's closer to her house.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for, my mom
exactly.
to come.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for that live...
It's my pleasure.
...little freestyle, even though it was scripted, but, freestyle.
Yeah.
Stick around. Tech Bites is up next, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.